Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to, we have some guests from Mandan. Glad to have you with us. And I think we have some, maybe everybody else I recognize. Very good. Announcements are in the bulletin, but just remember today we are having the rally Sunday and there's a barbecue afterwards. And on the tables downstairs, there are some questions. This time, we're not going to ask you 100 questions. We limited it to 3. So if you gather around the tables, because I think the kids are going to play games after the service. So while they're playing games, you can answer some questions. Monday is newsletter deadline. Also, on Monday evening, there's a free concert at the Occidental Hotel. It's a clarinet soloist, Natsuya Yuasa from Japan. I guess it's supposed to be an excellent one. Wednesday, we have our typical full schedule, but there's also a free movie on Wednesday evening at 7 at the theater, and it's The Shack. So if any of you have ever read The Shack, I've read the book and I've also seen the movie, and the movie is really excellent. Thursday, we're our Bible studies. Today, we're going to do something really different. Well, we got a whole bunch of different things happening today, but After the ushers take the offering down, the kids are going to bring this can, and they're going to receive a noisy offering. In other words, change. If you've got some change you want to share, because they're going to put that toward Hurricane Dorian. And the church council agreed that we would use some of the Niels Nelson Fund, which we have to use for certain purposes. They're going to match it, I believe, or doing something like that. So if you got loose offering with you, dump it in the noisy can, and we'll do that each week until we get an accumulation enough to really send in.
And if you don't have any loose change, we're going to give you some.
Oh!
Hey. From the Niels Nelson Fund.
Okay. What a deal. All right. Any other announcements? Okay. Sometimes I think I do more announcing than I do preaching, but we'll see how it goes. And next Sunday after worship, Sue is going to be showing some slides from Sicily. So if you're interested in seeing those, stick around next week, too. You can go home between now and then, but so let's pause now, and we'll turn to the confession and forgiveness, which you find printed in your bulletin. Let us stand as we're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 655, Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Save
God. comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Savior on board. Amen. Let me see.
The first reading is from the 8th chapter of Amos. Amos was called by God to prophesy in the northern kingdom of Israel. Peace and prosperity in Israel led to corrupt business practices and oppression of the poor. The prophet declares that God will not tolerate such a situation. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 113 responsively. Hallelujah! Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, God's glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God? Who sits enthroned on high? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. The Lord makes the women of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. The second reading is from the second chapter of 1 Timothy. The pastoral epistles offer insight into how early Christians understood many practical matters, such as church administration and worship. The church's focused prayer for others is an expression of the single-minded passion God has toward us in Jesus. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
I've asked a number of people to assist with the reading. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him,
'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.'
Then the manager said to him,
'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.'
So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first,
'How much do you owe me, my master?'
He answered,
100 jugs of olive oil.'
He said to him,
'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50.
Then he asked another,
"And how much do you owe?"
He replied,
100 containers of wheat.
He said to him,
"Take your bill and make it 80.
And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. Then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth. You who will entrust you with the true riches? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to you, another, who will give you what is their own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come up, and if you brought your backpacks, bring your backpacks up here, would you? All right. Okay, would you like to put your backpack up here by the altar?
Yes.
Okay. Super, just stack them up there. We'll let you take them back later. Okay? It's open. Okay. Better get it. All right. Okay. Today we're going, well, but you guys are all sitting over there. I'll come over here then. Let's, how would it be if we blessed the backpacks, shall we? These backpacks represent all the books, homework, and special projects you'll carry out and go to and from school. They may also be reminders that Jesus is riding in them, helping you carry them, and bless you with his presence every day. Jesus said in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So, blessed and dedicated. Why don't you all come up here by the backpacks and we'll have you put hands on them. Okay? Can you put your hands on? Everybody put a hand on the backpacks? Be a little crowded up here, but we'll get to it. All right, great. Okay. Blessed and dedicated be these backpacks. May the children carry them with them the love, mercy, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that his yoke may be easy and his burden light. Carry them and use them to glorify God every day in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can take your backpacks. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, now that we've done that, we have something to present to you. Tracy, would you like to help present the Bibles? Today is another faith stepping stone in which we give the children a Bible. In Christian Love, you present it with the parents. Please come up. How's that? Aha, we surprised them. Parents, come on up.
Big kids too, or not yet?
What?
Big kids, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well, the parents of the big kids.
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You all come up.
Okay.
All right. Surprised, wasn't it? In Christian Love, you presented your child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring them to the services of God's house, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Creed. And as they grow in years, you should place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for their instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of his or her baptism and in communion with the church, they may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you recognize those words, but those were the words you promised when the children were baptized. So, are you willing to renew your promises to fulfill these expectations? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
John 1 declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light, the life was the life of all people." As a congregation, we at St. Luke's believe it's our obligation as children of God to assist and support you as you guide your child through their instruction in Christian faith. At this time, we present you with a Bible to place in the hands of your child. So, I'll let Tracy... As you can see, we have a few. All right. Why don't you call the kids up?
Or Tessa.
Little Tessa. Tessa number two.
Okay. In John 20, verse 31 declares, "This word is written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in His name." Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you speak to us through the Holy Scriptures. Grant that these families may hear, read, respect, learn, and make your word their own, in such a way that the enduring benefit and comfort of the Word will help them grasp and hold the blessed hope of everlasting life, given through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that we're passing out is a little, there's a list on it of a number of scripture passages, and normally we tell kids not to write in books and to mark them up. We're asking you to mark up your Bible and use a highlighter so that you can highlight all of the passages that are in there, that are marked. And then some others that you may find along the way. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the congregation gives you a Bible to help you know that you really are important to this congregation, that you are meant to be an active member of it, not just an observer, that you're able to now participate not only with reading Scripture, but with sharing Scripture. Each of us has that responsibility, but not everybody takes that responsibility seriously. Years ago, when I was in a congregation, I was invited to another congregation because they were between pastors. And they asked if I would have a funeral for one of the members. So I went over ahead of time and met with the family. And the difficulty I had was that I would ask questions because I didn't know the man, I didn't know the family. And the only thing I could find out about him was that he liked to fish and hunt. That was it. And in fact, I got the impression that not very many people in town liked him. So just before the funeral, I was putting my robe on, and one of the sons came back and said, I'd like to say some words. And I said, fine, I'll invite you up. And at the point where he came up and he stood there with this really sour look on his face. And he said, "My father was a member of the human race, but not a very active member of it." With that, I ended up having to preach the good news, the only good news that I had, that God so loves the world that He gave His only Son to die for us. Wow. Well, it begs a question for all of us. How active a member of the human race are you? Oh, maybe how much of an active member of the church are you? Do you really get involved, or do you leave it to somebody else to teach the kids, to do the council work, to do the committee work, to do the bells, or whatever? Are you really involved in the life of the church? Or is it just one of those things that you, kind of like another membership to the country club? That's part of the problem that Amos had in our first reading. Amos is writing to the people of the northern kingdom Israel in the 8th century B.C. Things have gone from bad to worse. The people of Israel, the Jews of Israel, took for granted all that God had done for them and were taking it upon themselves, so that if you read that lesson carefully, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. In fact, the poor are getting so poor that they have to sell themselves as slaves, you know, for the price of a pair of sandals in order to survive. Sad, but it was true. And Amos points to that and all of the other injustices, the way in which they are bending the weights. They are selling chaff for wheat. They are doing every dishonest thing they can think of to get richer and richer, while everybody else is poorer and poorer. And Amos says, God is going to hold you to account. The day is coming. Now, most of us know the rest of the story. The nation of Israel was conquered by Assyria and taken into exile, from which they never returned. There is a day of reckoning, and we are not always privy to it. Sometimes we have to look into the future, and even then we can't see it. But God calls us to account. In the second reading, Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy, one of his students. Now, Pastor Timothy has a problem not only with social injustice, but also with persecution. And this lesson almost makes you wonder, what are you talking about, Paul? You know, they're going through all of these difficulties, and what do you tell them to do? Pray about it. Wow. And not just what do you pray about, pray for the king, the guy who's causing all the problems. And he doesn't tell him, pray that God will come down and conquer him and beat him up. He prays that God will bring peace to his heart. I thought, you know, that's something we all need to learn. To pray for our leaders, even those we disagree with. Pray for our enemies, even those who have done us wrong. Pray for them, but allow God to be the judge. Let Christ determine what needs to be done so that Christ's light will surround them and lift them up and change them in the way that God wants them changed. It's not always easy to allow God to be God, especially when we've got a bone to pick with somebody, when we have things that we would rather have done than what we think God would do. But Paul reminds Timothy to allow God to be God. You know, there's a story about a young man, a 15-year-old, who loved to golf. He went to the golf course one day, and he was put together with a 58-year-old lawyer who was really good. And he didn't have too many high hopes, but as he was golfing, he hit one of the balls over a knoll, and it ended up in a place that he couldn't play. And he went over the knoll, and he called a penalty on himself. And Mr. Johnson, who was the lawyer, said, Jamie, why in the world did you call a penalty on yourself? You could have thrown that out. I'd have never known the difference. Jamie said, but I would have. Some years later, Jamie went into the law firm to apply for an internship. And he, again, was thinking, there isn't much hope for me because there are so many more talented guys in this room. But when he went in for the interview, he looked up and he saw that the person doing the interview was a senior partner was Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson looked up from all of his papers and said, and picked up the phone and told his secretary, "You can send everybody else away. I have the person I'm going to hire." And Jamie said, "Well, you know, with all of this talent, why did you choose me?" And he said, "Because you are honest, and I know that I can trust you. Those who are faithful with a little will be faithful with much." And then we come to the gospel, where it doesn't it look like Jesus is praising dishonesty? You know, you read that through, doesn't it? I mean, he praises this guy for being cunning. But if you look at the message, the actual words, what he does, he doesn't dismiss the debt. What he does is reduces it to what it should have been. Shrewd. And therefore, by reducing it, he wasn't cheating anybody. He was just taking away all of the excess that he was not supposed to have to begin with. So that when this person he was cheating before saw him, he would have mercy on him. God calls on us to be good stewards of all that he has given to us. I know over the years, we sometimes forget who owns everything we have, all that we are. And sometimes we limit stewardship to just money, and we forget that there is time, there is talent, there is also the treasures. But we need to remember who they all come from and who they all belong to. Are we good managers of God's good gifts? Somewhere I saw a formula. You might want to write this formula down. It's one that my wife and I discovered early in our marriage when we were working on a budget. It's very simple. It's 10, 10, and 80. The first 10 is a tithe, giving a tithe to God. The next 10 is savings. Put 10% in savings. And the next 80% is for you to blow in any way you want. When we did our first budget, this is telling, but I was in seminary at the time, and the only income we had was just a little from doing some youth work and from what she was getting as a secretary. And we figured out what all our bills were, and we put it on the sheet, and then we figured, well, we really didn't have much to put in savings. But we put a little bit away in case of a rainy day or something like that. And then we got to the part of the tithe. And, you know, there wasn't anything left. We both scratched our heads and said, wow. Here we are going into the ministry, and we don't even have anything to give back to God. So we turned it around, and we started the other way. We took 10% of what we had and put it aside as a tithe. We took some, 10%, I don't remember what percent we had, and put it aside for savings. And you know what was amazing? At the end, we found out we had plenty. Oh, there were some things we couldn't do that we would like to, but we had plenty. See, God doesn't want everything we have, but he does want us to be good stewards of what he has given us. And he calls upon us all the time to take his word seriously so that we become active in the life and ministry of his body, the church. Can you imagine? There are a number of people who have had like hip surgery or knee surgery or cataracts or, you know, all kinds of things. And you know what happens when a part of your body isn't functioning fully. Well, have you thought about the fact that that happens with the church? When we are inactive, when we're not participating, where we're not there. Something happens to the body of Christ and we become weaker. But God calls upon us to be stronger, to be His people, alive and thrilled to be able to serve in whatever way He calls us to. So, may you find yourself to be an active member of the human society, but also an active member of His body, the church. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Are there names of those you'd like to add to our prayers this morning?
Jenny.
Tucker.
Elgin.
Dan.
Nancy.
Esther.
Did someone say Alan?
Elgin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Others? Faithful God, you call your church to serve you. Free your people from the deceptions of false masters so that we discover the true riches of serving in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creating God, you have made all kinds of creatures. Protect animals in the midst of seasonal migration, whether by water, through the air, or over the land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Wise God, you rule the nations. When the powerful trample on the needy and take advantage of the poor, turn them from their selfish ways. Show us your ways of truth that lead to justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healing God, you raise up those who have been brought low, and you remember the forgotten. We lift up to you all who are in need, especially Esther, Alan, Nancy, Jenny, Tucker, Elgin, Nick, Dan, and those we name in our hearts. Grant them joy and comfort in your presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mothering God, you give us life. Give strength to families experiencing challenging pregnancies, to foster parents, parents of adopted children, single parents, and families of all varieties. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, you hold us close even in death. We lift to you our thanks for those who have recently died and are now at rest with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Assured by your promises to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I'd like to invite Jason, Jolene, and the parents to come forward. Young people have been instructed and approved for admission to the Lord's table. In holy baptism, these young people were received into the family of the church and were accepted by Christ as his own. They have learned what Christ has done for them and the gift that is being offered to them in this sacrament. They know that they are sinners and need forgiveness. They know the joy of being loved and accepted by him and are eager to say thank you. Therefore, as members of the family, they are now ready to receive the Lord's Supper. Let us all stand, and we have all shared together in the creed of what we believe, declaring what we believe. The congregation is invited to join us as we pray. On behalf of the church, I ask you, do you believe that in the holy baptism, God accepted you as his child? If so, answer, I believe.
I believe.
You're about to be admitted to the Holy Communion.
The church invites you and expects you to come regularly to the services of God's house. It's important that you hear what God has to say to you and that you give God thanks. You will also be expected to continue to attend youth night or Sunday school so that you may grow in your understanding of what living a Christian life means. Because we believe that Christ is really present in Holy Communion, you will want to receive him as often as you can. Later, you will be invited to confirm your faith, committing your life to Christ in confirmation. All of this will help you to live as God wants you to live. So I ask you, do you promise to worship, attend a Wednesday school or a youth night, and receive Holy Communion regularly? If so, answer, I do with the help of God. The congregation has heard your confession of faith and promises. God's whole family shares the concern and responsibility for helping you to grow in Christ. Will you, the parents, do all you can to encourage your children to fulfill their promises? If so, answer, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Will you, the congregation, do all you can to help these young people to fulfill their promises? If so, answer, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Then by the authority of the church, I now invite you to the Lord's table to receive the presence of Christ in the sacrament and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. And I have something for each of you. Let me see. And now that everybody is seated and comfortable, I'm going to invite you to stand up because I want to say the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace.
Thank you.
pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. Ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age. We know he came to rescue us. A baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. Our sins would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. Every breath he drew was yes and alleluia. 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 The night he was betrayed, our Lord, he broke the bread and blessed it then and said, "This is my body given for you." Took the cup and raised it high and said, "My blood is shed for you. Forgiven, remember me. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Amen.
Let us pray the traditional Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. You may be seated and come forward as your usher.
God, you take away the sin.
Stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Amen.
At this point, I want to, I forgot to mention earlier that we have a celebrity among us, Julie Silbernagle. And we have another hymn, but before we do, I want to just tell you about the fact that the kids are going to gather where for the games?
Outside.
Well, that's a good place. And everybody else is welcome to go downstairs or on this table and add your 2 cents worth for the questions that are there. And I believe that's all the announcements I have. So let's sing the hymn. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.